Unit 7. Part 2. Development of 4R Skills. Listening. Section A. Listening Comprehension. Task 1.
Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
President Barack Obama is in the German city of Dresden, symbol of reconciliation and rebuilding. Obama arrived late Thursday from Cairo, where he called for a new beginning in relations between the U.S. and Muslim world. Many Muslims say it's a positive shift in U.S. attitude and tone. A Brazilian helicopter crew recovered the first wreckage from Air France Flight 447, but there's been no sign of human remains. The jetliner broke apart, killing all 228 people on board. A 12-year-old boy in Northern Virginia died after being struck by lightning while he was playing catch. The boy's 11-year-old teammate was critically injured. Police say the boy was playing catch on a ball field south of Fredericksburg as severe storms battled the area.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 2.
President Barack Obama is in the German city of Dresden, symbol of reconciliation and rebuilding. Obama arrived late Thursday from Cairo, where he called for a new beginning in relations between the U.S. and Muslim world. Many Muslims say it's a positive shift in U.S. attitude and tone. A Brazilian helicopter crew recovered the first wreckage from Air France Flight 447, but there's been no sign of human remains. The jetliner broke apart, killing all 228 people on board. A 12-year-old boy in Northern Virginia died after being struck by lightning while he was playing catch. The boy's 11-year-old teammate was critically injured. Police say the boy was playing catch on a ball field south of Fredericksburg as severe storms battled the area.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 3.
President Barack Obama is in the German city of Dresden, symbol of reconciliation and rebuilding. Obama arrived late Thursday from Cairo, where he called for a new beginning in relations between the U.S. and Muslim world. Many Muslims say it's a positive shift in U.S. attitude and tone. A Brazilian helicopter crew recovered the first wreckage from Air France Flight 447, but there's been no sign of human remains. The jetliner broke apart, killing all 228 people on board. A 12-year-old boy in Northern Virginia died after being struck by lightning while he was playing catch. The boy's 11-year-old teammate was critically injured. Police say the boy was playing catch on a ball field south of Fredericksburg as severe storms battled the area. Task 2.
Now listen to a news item and answer question 4. American lawmakers agreed this week on an economic recovery plan. Negotiators got it below $790 billion. They cut tens of billions from versions in the Senate and the House of Representatives. The compromise measure needed final passage in Congress for President Barack Obama to get his wish to have it by Monday to sign into law. About 35% of the rescue plan is tax cuts for individuals and businesses. 65% is government spending. That includes more than $50 billion in aid to states. And it includes money for roads and bridge projects, as well as investments in healthcare, education, and energy. The plan also calls for expanded aid for people without jobs or health insurance. The economic recovery plan is the largest since President Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal during the Great Depression in the 1930s. Republicans continued to criticize Democrats for not including more tax cuts. They say the plan contains wasteful spending that will do little to create jobs and will leave mountains of debt for future generations. Now listen to the item again and answer question 5. American lawmakers agreed this week on an economic recovery plan. Negotiators got it below $790 billion. They cut tens of billions from versions in the Senate and the House of Representatives. The compromise measure needed final passage in Congress for President Barack Obama to get his wish to have it by Monday to sign into law. About 35% of the rescue plan is tax cuts for individuals and businesses. 65% is government spending. That includes more than $50 billion in aid to states. And it includes money for roads and bridge projects, as well as investments in healthcare, education, and energy. The plan also calls for expanded aid for people without jobs or health insurance. The economic recovery plan is the largest since President Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal during the Great Depression in the 1930s. Republicans continued to criticize Democrats for not including more tax cuts. They say the plan contains wasteful spending that will do little to create jobs and will leave mountains of debt for future generations. Now listen to the item again and answer question 6. American lawmakers agreed this week on an economic recovery plan. Negotiators got it below $790 billion. They cut tens of billions from versions in the Senate and the House of Representatives. The compromise measure needed final passage in Congress for President Barack Obama to get his wish to have it by Monday to sign into law. About 35% of the rescue plan is tax cuts for individuals and businesses. 65% is government spending. That includes more than $50 billion in aid to states. And it includes money for roads and bridge projects, as well as investments in healthcare, education, and energy. The plan also calls for expanded aid for people without jobs or health insurance. The economic recovery plan is the largest since President Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal during the Great Depression in the 1930s. Republicans continued to criticize Democrats for not including more tax cuts. They say the plan contains wasteful spending that will do little to create jobs and will leave mountains of debt for future generations. Task 3.
Now listen to a news item and answer question 7.
For much of the year, record prices for oil have made oil-producing nations rich. Now these nations are trying to cut production to support collapsing prices. Last week, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries met in Algiers. Members agreed to a record production cut of more than 2 million barrels a day, or about 5% of world output. OPEC president said the group may call an emergency meeting in March if prices continue to fall. Less than 6 months ago, oil traded at a record $147 a barrel. Governments and oil companies in Russia, Brazil, and Saudi Arabia spent billions of dollars to develop new oil fields. Now, oil is trading for less than $40 a barrel, down over 70%.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 8.
For much of the year, record prices for oil have made oil-producing nations rich. Now these nations are trying to cut production to support collapsing prices. Last week, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries met in Algiers. Members agreed to a record production cut of more than 2 million barrels a day, or about 5% of world output. OPEC president said the group may call an emergency meeting in March if prices continue to fall. Less than 6 months ago, oil traded at a record $147 a barrel. Governments and oil companies in Russia, Brazil, and Saudi Arabia spent billions of dollars to develop new oil fields. Now, oil is trading for less than $40 a barrel, down over 70%.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 9.
For much of the year, record prices for oil have made oil-producing nations rich. Now these nations are trying to cut production to support collapsing prices. Last week, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries met in Algiers. Members agreed to a record production cut of more than 2 million barrels a day, or about 5% of world output. OPEC president said the group may call an emergency meeting in March if prices continue to fall. Less than 6 months ago, oil traded at a record $147 a barrel. Governments and oil companies in Russia, Brazil, and Saudi Arabia spent billions of dollars to develop new oil fields. Now, oil is trading for less than $40 a barrel, down over 70%. Task 4.
Now listen to a passage twice and answer questions 10 to 12. The National Association for Business Economics has its latest predictions for the American economy. Most of the 45 business economists questioned said they expect the recession to end in the second half of the year, but they also expect a slower-than-usual recovery. Still, there were more signs this week that Americans are feeling better about the economy. The Conference Board says its Consumer Confidence Index had its biggest jump in 6 years in May. The National Association of Realtors reported that sales of existing homes rose about 3% from March to April. The Commerce Department said sales of new single-family houses also rose, but just by 0.3%. The Federal Housing Finance Agency said home prices fell 7% in the first 3 months of the year, but that was less than they fell at the end of 2008, compared to a year earlier. Housing recoveries usually follow employment recoveries. Experts say job losses might slow later this year, but the unemployment rate could rise until the middle of next year. Job losses help explain the latest numbers from the Mortgage Bankers Association. By the end of March, 12% of homeowners with a mortgage were late on loan payments or in the process of losing their home. California, Florida, Arizona, and Nevada drove up the national numbers. Peter Kyle is a University of Maryland finance professor. He agrees that the economy should begin to grow again in the second half of the year. But because of job conditions, he says, the recovery is not going to feel like a recovery to the average person. Unemployment was almost 9% in April, the highest since the early 80s. High unemployment reduces spending, which slows recovery. Professor Kyle also points to a weak property market, both for housing and businesses. But what really set this economic downturn apart from others, he says, was the severity of the banking crisis. Many banks, he says, are going to need additional capital to deal with bad loans and heavy debt. Heavy government debt only adds to unease about the future after the so-called Great Recession. But President Obama says, "We have stepped back from the brink." He says there is now some calm that did not exist before. But he also says Americans cannot return to a borrow-and-spend economy. The National Association for Business Economics has its latest predictions for the American economy. Most of the 45 business economists questioned said they expect the recession to end in the second half of the year, but they also expect a slower-than-usual recovery. Still, there were more signs this week that Americans are feeling better about the economy. The Conference Board says its Consumer Confidence Index had its biggest jump in 6 years in May. The National Association of Realtors reported that sales of existing homes rose about 3% from March to April. The Commerce Department said sales of new single-family houses also rose, but just by 0.3%. The Federal Housing Finance Agency said home prices fell 7% in the first 3 months of the year, but that was less than they fell at the end of 2008, compared to a year earlier. Housing recoveries usually follow employment recoveries. Experts say job losses might slow later this year, but the unemployment rate could rise until the middle of next year. Job losses help explain the latest numbers from the Mortgage Bankers Association. By the end of March, 12% of homeowners with a mortgage were late on loan payments or in the process of losing their home. California, Florida, Arizona, and Nevada drove up the national numbers. Peter Kyle is a University of Maryland finance professor. He agrees that the economy should begin to grow again in the second half of the year. But because of job conditions, he says, the recovery is not going to feel like a recovery to the average person. Unemployment was almost 9% in April, the highest since the early 80s. High unemployment reduces spending, which slows recovery. Professor Kyle also points to a weak property market, both for housing and businesses. But what really set this economic downturn apart from others, he says, was the severity of the banking crisis. Many banks, he says, are going to need additional capital to deal with bad loans and heavy debt. Heavy government debt only adds to unease about the future after the so-called Great Recession. But President Obama says, we have stepped back from the brink. He says there is now some calm that did not exist before. But he also says Americans cannot return to a borrow-and-spend economy.
Section B, Listening-Based Integrated Tasks.
Task 1. Listening and Dictation. Miss Elizabeth, I have struggled in vain and can bear it no longer. These past months have been a torment. I came to Rosings with the single object of seeing you. I had to see you. I have fought against my better judgment, my family's expectation, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstances, all these things, but I'm willing to put them aside and ask you to end my agony.
I don't understand.
I love you, most ardently. Please do me the honour of accepting my hand.
Sir, I appreciate the struggle you have been through, and I'm very sorry to have caused you pain. Believe me, it was unconsciously done.
Is this your reply?
Yes, sir.
Are you laughing at me?
No.
Are you rejecting me?
I'm sure the feelings, which, as you've told me, have hindered your regard, will help you in overcoming it.
Might I ask why, with so little endeavour at civility, I am thus repulsed?
And I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of insulting me, you chose to tell me that you liked me against your better judgment.
No, believe me.
If I was uncivil, then that is some excuse. But I have other reasons. You know I have.
What reasons?
Do you think anything might tempt me to accept the man who has ruined perhaps forever the happiness of a most beloved sister? Do you deny it, Mr. Darcy, that you separated a young couple who loved each other, exposing your friend to the centre of the world for caprice and my sister to its derision for disappointed hopes and involving them both in misery of the acutest kind?
I do not deny it.
How could you do it?
Because I believed your sisters indifferent to him.
Indifferent?
I watched them most carefully and realized his attachment was deeper than hers.
That's because she's shy.
Bingley, too, is modest and was persuaded she didn't feel strongly for him.
Because you suggested it.
I did it for his own good.
My sister hardly shows her true feelings to me. I suppose you suspect that his fortune had some bearing?
No. I wouldn't do your sister the dishonour, though it was suggested.
What was?
It was made perfectly clear that an advantageous marriage...
Did my sister give that impression?
No, no, no. There was, however, I have to admit, the matter of your family.
Our want of connection? Mr. Bingley didn't seem to vex himself about that.
No, it was more than that.
How, sir?
It was the lack of propriety shown by your mother, your three younger sisters, and even on occasion your father. Forgive me, you and your sister I must exclude from this.
And those are the words of a gentleman. From the first moment I met you, your arrogance and conceit, your selfish disdain for the feelings of others, made me realize that you were the last man in the world I could ever be prevailed upon to marry.
Forgive me, madam, for taking up so much of your time. Miss Elizabeth, I have struggled in vain and can bear it no longer. These past months have been a torment. I came to Rosings with the single object of seeing you. I had to see you. I have fought against my better judgment, my family's expectation, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstances, all these things. But I'm willing to put them aside and ask you to end my agony.
I don't understand.
I love you, most ardently. Please do me the honour of accepting my hand.
Sir, I appreciate the struggle you have been through, and I'm very sorry to have caused you pain. Believe me, it was unconsciously done.
Is this your reply?
Yes, sir.
Are you laughing at me?
No.
Are you rejecting me?
I'm sure the feelings, which, as you've told me, have hindered your regard, will help you in overcoming it.
Might I ask why, with so little endeavour at civility, I am thus repulsed?
And I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of insulting me, you chose to tell me that you liked me against your better judgment.
No, believe me.
If I was uncivil, then that is some excuse. But I have other reasons. You know I have.
What reasons?
Do you think anything might tempt me to accept the man who has ruined perhaps forever the happiness of a most beloved sister? Do you deny it, Mr. Darcy, that you separated a young couple who loved each other, exposing your friend to the centre of the world for caprice, and my sister to its derision for disappointed hopes, and involving them both in misery of the acutest kind?
I do not deny it.
How could you do it?
Because I believed your sisters indifferent to him.
Indifferent?
I watched them most carefully and realized his attachment was deeper than hers.
That's because she's shy.
Bingley, too, is modest and was persuaded she didn't feel strongly for him.
Because you suggested it.
I did it for his own good.
My sister hardly shows her true feelings to me. I suppose you suspect that his fortune had some bearing?
No. I wouldn't do your sister the dishonour, though it was suggested.
What was?
It was made perfectly clear that an advantageous marriage...
Did my sister give that impression?
No, no, no. There was, however, I have to admit, the matter of your family.
Our want of connection? Mr. Bingley didn't seem to vex himself about that.
No, it was more than that.
How, sir?
It was the lack of propriety shown by your mother, your three younger sisters, and even on occasion your father. Forgive me, you and your sister I must exclude from this.
And those are the words of a gentleman. From the first moment I met you, your arrogance and conceit, your selfish disdain for the feelings of others, made me realize that you were the last man in the world I could ever be prevailed upon to marry.
Forgive me, madam, for taking up so much of your time.